Turn to Exodus 31. While we're going there, I just wanted to remind everybody about Brother Scott Pallman from Local Church Bible Publishers. Will be with us next week, next Wednesday night, and we will be taking up a love offering for him. And if you need a Bible, he'll have a bunch of Bibles with him, and a lot of Bibles that they publish there, again, like Brother John Green had with him. So if you're in need of a good Bible, now's the time. This next week will be the time to get one when you don't have to pay the shipping cost. So you can trust their Bibles and print some good Bibles. All right, but be praying for him as he comes. He'll be traveling down from Spokane, I believe, is where he is stationed with his mobile camper. And he's going out from there to different churches in the area here. So be praying for him as he travels Tuesday down here. He'll be staying at the Bonds bed and breakfast Tuesday night and Wednesday night. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 31, please. Better get my notes out. I got my prayer sheet out, but my prayer sheet is not my notes. Put that away for a second. Exodus 31. As I was looking at Brother Cloud's book this evening, he is going into, in the book that we're going through, the tabernacle, a portrait of Christ, the tabernacle, the offerings, and the priesthood. The next section is in chapter 32 on the golden calf. He has a whole section on the golden calf. And I noticed right before we get into that, into chapter 32, there's chapter 31, and there's the Sabbath at the end of chapter 31. And so I jumped ahead in his book to see if he covers the Sabbath and talks about the Sabbath, and he does not talk about the Sabbath in his book. So we are going to look at the Sabbath this evening. So we're deviating. This is not in his book that we're going through. So this is not Brother Cloud's material. This is something I put together. But the Sabbath. Let's read Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and thank you for this illustration, the Sabbath day. And Father, help us to understand that. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to apply it to our lives as we learn from your word this evening. In Jesus' precious name we ask, amen. The Sabbath. What is the Sabbath all about? Well, first of all, the Sabbath is the seventh day. Okay, as far as the Jewish Sabbath is concerned, it's the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath was given to the nation of Israel. Go back to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16. If you look the word Sabbath up in a Bible dictionary or Bible, Bible concordance, Exodus 16 will be the first time the word appears in the Word of God. Exodus 16, verse 23 through 30. The Sabbath was given to the nation of Israel, and this is the first mention of the Sabbath. And it is very clearly, as we're going to see in this passage, it's very clearly speaking to Israel. It's clearly referring to the people who go out and gather the manna. So let's read the passage. Exodus 16, verse 23. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, referring to the manna. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. From this passage, how many nations or people groups does it look like that God gave the manna to? I'm sorry? The twelve tribes. Yeah, that people group. The Israelite nation, right? Just those people who were encamped with Israel, including the strangers that came out of Egypt with Israel. They were encamping and they were being assimilated into Israel. But those strangers were being referred to with Israel as Israel now, okay? And so the manna was for the nation of Israel. The Israelites didn't go to the Moabites and say, Hey, come on over. We've got manna over here this morning. Let's all gather it together. No, the manna was for Israel alone. And so also the Sabbath, which is in reference right with the manna, is for the same people group that is collecting the manna. It's for Israel only. It's for Israel only. The whole passage is clearly commanding the same people who gather manna to keep the seventh day as a day of rest. They are not told to try to make other people groups obey the Sabbath too. The primary passage on the giving of the command of the Sabbath is what we already read in Exodus 31. So go back to Exodus 31. But the very first mention of the Sabbath is very clearly only in reference to Israel. They're the ones collecting the manna. They're the ones that are to obey the Sabbath day. But this Exodus 31 now, the passage we started with, is the primary passage on the giving of the command of the Sabbath to Israel, to anyone, because it's only for Israel. But let's look at verse 13 again. Verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel. Very clearly, he's defining whom he's speaking to now. He's speaking to the children of Israel. This is why we do not obey the seventh day Sabbath. It's because we're Gentiles. And God didn't give the seventh day Sabbath to Gentiles. He gave it to the children of Israel. Saying, verse 13, saying, Verily, my Sabbath, ye, Israel, ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. This is very clearly a family thing. This is a family covenant between the family of Jacob, Israel, and God. It's not for anybody else but Israel. Throughout, it's a sign between me, God says, and Israel, and throughout Israel's generations. And verse 13 goes on, that ye, Israel, may know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I am God that does sanctify you. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 14. Ye, again, speaking to the nation of Israel, ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Notice it's not just holy to everyone. It is holy unto you, Israel. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death in Israel. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people of Israel. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel, this is still God speaking, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me, God says, and the children of Israel forever. Not between God and anybody else. Between me and the children of Jacob only. It's a sign between me and them. It's a covenant between me and them alone. It was given only to Israel. The Jews are to keep the seventh day Sabbath rest. But going on here in verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Okay? All of these phrases, between me and the children of Israel, unto you, to you, ye shall keep it. All of these phrases are specifically pointed at Israel themselves, the nation. But also Exodus 20, verse 10. Exodus 20, 10. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more verses on this. I'm going to let you go to Exodus 20, 10, but then I don't expect you to go to the rest of them. Exodus 20, verse 10 says, "But the seventh day," this is in the law, the actual Ten Commandment passage, by the way. It follows the verse that says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." The next verse says, verse 10, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." It's a very personal command to a people group. Thy gates, not the Gentiles' gates, Israel's gates. Exodus 35 verse 2 says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you, Israel, an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Exodus 35 verse 3, ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations. Again, very specific. It's not referring to Gentile habitations. It's Jewish habitations. Throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. Leviticus 16:31, it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, Israel. And ye shall, and I added the word Israel, by the way. And ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. It's for Israel. Leviticus 23:3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Israel's dwellings. God gave the Sabbath day, the seventh day Sabbath rest, to the Jews who are supposed to keep it forever. He said it was forever, a covenant forever. This is the Jewish Sabbath is the one of the outward covenants between the Jews and God. Okay? So the Jews were to keep the Sabbath forever. Now, what does that look like in eternity? I don't know. We'll have to find out what that looks like in eternity. We'll see what God has in mind about that in eternity. All I know is right now the Jews are supposed to keep the Sabbath day. It's a covenant between God and the Jewish nation. Okay? The Sabbath was given to the nation of Israel. Second point, what does Sabbath keeping look like? What does Sabbath keeping look like? What exactly were the Israelites commanded to do on the Sabbath day? Go back to Exodus 16, please. Exodus 16. Maybe you'll find somebody or walk up to somebody and start talking to them and they'll tell you, well, I keep the Sabbath. I'm a Sabbath keeper and therefore I'm not going to come to your church on Sunday. Well, what are they talking about? What in the world is Sabbath keeping? Well, let's look at what biblical Sabbath keeping is. In Exodus 16, verses 23 through 30, we read all about the Sabbath. Well, let's look at verse 29 and 30 again. "See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And God also said, thou shalt go to church. Thou shalt go to the tabernacle. No, notice that those phrases aren't in there anywhere. Thou shalt rest and thou shalt go to the tabernacle and worship the Lord on the Sabbath day. It doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture. In fact, the word worship and Sabbath only comes together in one single solitary verse in the Bible. Go to Isaiah chapter 66. The Israelites were not commanded to worship God on the Sabbath day. They were commanded to stay in your tent and rest. Rest. Stay in your tent and rest. That is what Sabbath keeping looks like. But worship and the Sabbath only come together in one verse in the Bible. The word worship and the word Sabbath. Isaiah 66:23. But notice the verse that comes before it. Isaiah 66:22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass. What are we referring to? We are referring to time is no longer. The old earth and the old heaven and earth have passed away. God has created all things new. We are talking about an eternity in the future, aren't we? And it shall come to pass, way forward in time, that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. That's not referring to time as we know it. That's the only verse in the Bible where worship and Sabbath come together in the same verse. Nowhere in the Bible were the Jews commanded to go worship God in the tabernacle on the Sabbath day. Sabbath keeping was a day of rest. They were specifically commanded to stay in your place. Let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath day. Okay, so if somebody says, I'm a Sabbath keeper, and I go to church on the Sabbath, they're not really sure what they're talking about. They don't know what the Bible means when it's talking about that. They're confused on this. The Israelites were commanded to abide in your place and rest on the seventh day. In the same chapter, Exodus 16, we are told that God rested the seventh day of creation. He created the world in 6 days, and then the seventh day, God rested. Okay? And so the Sabbath day of rest was based on creation. Because God rested the seventh day, man, the Jews, are to rest the seventh day in honor of God. This was the way. Resting was the way in which the Sabbath day was to be kept holy. Remember the Ten Commandments? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How do you keep the Sabbath day holy? By resting. Not by going to church. By resting. Go with me to Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah makes this very abundantly clear. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. And verse 22. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. How do you keep it holy? Rest and don't do any work. But going to church is not how you keep it holy, according to God's word. Jeremiah 17:24. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein. That's how you keep it holy. How do you hallow the seventh day? How do you sanctify the seventh day unto the Lord? Don't do any work. Rest. Abide in your tent. Abide in your place and rest. It doesn't say go to church. It doesn't say go to the temple. and worship the Lord. It doesn't mention the tabernacle. Verse 27. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. How did God say? God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is God's definition of keeping the Sabbath day holy? It's not going to the tabernacle to a service. It's not working on the Sabbath day. That's God's definition of hallowing the Sabbath day. And if you look through the Old Testament, God never, ever once commanded the Jews to keep the Sabbath day holy by attending worship services. The Jews just did that because they didn't have any, they weren't supposed to do anything. And so, if I could say it this way, they didn't have anything else to do on Saturday. And keeping something holy would also include a holy service to God. And so church fell into the category of doing something holy or keeping something holy. Church fell into that category. So church services were allowed on Saturday. And so they didn't have anything else to do, so they went to church on Saturday. You say, that's the day, that was a special day to the Jews. That's when church services were for the Jews. No. If you remember the synagogues were open 7 days a week, three times a day. 7 days a week, three times a day. Saturday's synagogue services were not anything extra special except for they were better attended because everybody could be there, you see. But God never said you have to hallow the Sabbath day by going to synagogue or to the temple or to the tabernacle. He said you hallow the Sabbath day by not working, by not working. Interesting. So somebody says, I'm a Sabbath keeper. Are you? Do you do any work at all on the Sabbath day? Well, yeah, I do. Then you're not a Sabbath keeper. In fact, you're a Sabbath breaker, you see. Sabbath keeping looks like not doing any work on Saturday. That's what Sabbath keeping looks like. And also, Sabbath keeping looks like this. A Sabbath keeper keeps every Sabbath the law talks about. A Sabbath keeper has to keep all the Sabbaths of the law to be a Sabbath keeper. You see, the same lawgiver, God, the same lawgiver that gave the Sabbath, the seventh day, to the Jews, that God gave all the rest of the Sabbaths to the same people. And if you're going to be a law keeper, a Sabbath keeper, you must keep all the Sabbaths, not just the seventh day Sabbath. Sabbath keeping looks like you keep all the Sabbaths. Turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And verse 24. A Sabbath keeper has to keep this Sabbath. Leviticus 23, verse 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month. Okay, that doesn't happen on Saturday necessarily. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month. In our way of speaking, that would be July 1st. July 1st, no matter what day of the week it is, becomes a Sabbath. In the first day of the month shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. If you're going to be a Sabbath keeper, July 1st, or the Hebrew equivalent of whatever July 1st is, seventh day, first day of the month, the Hebrew equivalent needs to become a Sabbath day to you. How about the tenth day of the seventh month? Leviticus 23, verse 27. Also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. The tenth day of July, or the Hebrew equivalent, needs to be a Sabbath day to you if you're going to be a Sabbath keeper. What about Leviticus 23, verse 32? Do you keep Let's see. Oh, it's the same one. Leviticus 23:32 reiterates the same day. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. Very specifically, that 10th day of the month, July 10th. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls. In the 9th day of the month at even, when the 10th day starts, from even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Very specifically, the 10th day of the month. How about the 15th day of July? Is that a Sabbath to you too? Verse 39. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. So not only the 15th, but 8 days later, the 23rd. July is just full of Sabbaths, isn't it? It's a month of Sabbaths almost. And on top of that, if you're a Sabbath keeper, your land needs to keep Sabbath as well. Your land needs to keep Sabbath. Leviticus 25, verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. Verse 4. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. Verse 6, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you. So, are there any Sabbath keepers today? I don't know of any, including the Jews themselves. Do they keep the land? Brother, do you know if they do this land thing? The Jews today don't do the land Sabbath. They themselves are Sabbath breakers. So is there any Sabbath keepers? I don't know of any single one that keeps the Sabbaths. Because if you're going to keep the Sabbath, God said you must keep my Sabbaths, plural. So what does Sabbath keeping look like? It looks like you keep all the Sabbaths. And that means you don't do any work. It doesn't mean you go to church on those days. It means you do no work. That's what Sabbath keeping looks like. Number 3, the Sabbath is based on the creation week. Why did God give the Sabbath anyway? It was a constant reminder of who the Creator was to Israel and to the rest of the nations. The Creator was Jehovah God. Exodus 16. Go back to Exodus 16 again. Why did God give the Jews the Sabbath? God wanted to remind them throughout their generations forever, and He also wanted to remind everybody, all the nations who looked at Israel, He wanted to remind everybody that He, Jehovah, was the Creator. Exodus 16, again, going back to verse 29. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Exodus 31, go back to Exodus 31. I hope I'm in the wrong place. Yes, Exodus 31, verse 17. Sorry. Again, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. God was the Creator. Jehovah created in 6 days. And on the 7th day He rested and was refreshed. The Sabbath is based on this creation week and was a constant reminder to the Jews and to everybody who ever looks at the Jews and considers, why are they taking Saturday off? Oh, it's because their God, Jehovah, rested on the 7th day. You see, it was a reminder to everybody. If God rested the 7th day, His creation also has a need to rest. And it was proven several different times in history, that's the 7-day work week was the ideal work week, and we do need one of those days to rest. It's been proven scientifically several times. The Romans, I believe, were one of those who tried to create a 10-day work week, and it just failed miserably. People were getting sick because they were working too much. And so 10-day work week did not work. It failed. We have a 7-day work week. It's established by God. Nothing else, no other type of week works for man. God needed to rest the seventh day. At least he set the example. He didn't need to. But he set the example to do so on the seventh day. And so he showed man that you need one day out of seven to rest. You need one day out of seven to rest. And so his creation needs to follow his example. And the obedience of the Jews to follow God in the Sabbath, in the Sabbath keeping, it represents how all of creation is subservient to the Creator. The Jews point out to the rest of the world that we're not the only ones who ought to be resting. The whole creation, you Gentiles too, you also are subservient to Creator God, Jehovah. Your body needs a day of rest too. You might not be keeping the Sabbath, but you answer to Jehovah God, you see. It's a testimony to the whole world. A testimony to the whole world that God, Jehovah, is the Creator. So he gave it to the Jews for that testimony, that picture, for them, to remind them that God is your Creator, Jew, but also for the rest of the world. God is also your Creator, Gentile. You will answer to him one day. But in like manner, we have the Lord's Day today. The Christian day of worship is the first day of the week. Why do we do that on the first day of the week? Well, I'll get into that in a second. But one of the minor reasons, is it represents the new creation. The first day, brand new creation. The first day of the week represents the new creation. The last day of the week, the seventh day, pictured the old creation. And God said it did. 6 days did God make heaven and earth. The seventh day rest pictured the old creation week. The first day of the week, Sabbath, if you will, if you want to call it Sabbath, but the Lord's Day pictures the new creation. It pictures the new man, the new creation that Jesus Christ creates in every single believer. The born again man in every believer. That's what the first day of the week represents, the new creation. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we could include the day we worship the Lord in that statement as well. Behold, all things are become new. And we know also Galatians 6:15 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. We're a new creature. And that's what the first day of the week meeting represents. The fact that we have been created anew, you and I, as believers. We meet together, the new creation meets together on the first day of the week. And of course we know Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbath day, right? Turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. He was giving us some hints during the time that he was alive on the earth. He was giving us some hints that things were going to come along that were a little different. Mark chapter 2 verse 24. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did? When he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He's saying, I can change the Sabbath day if I want to. Because I made it, Jesus is saying. I'm the Creator. I'm the one that gave it to the Jews. I can stop it if I want. I can change it if I want. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And so when Jesus arose on the first day of the week, he gave his new creation, believers, his disciples, a new holy day. The Lord's Day, to celebrate his resurrection. We meet on the first day of the week because that's the day he resurrected. And we commemorate his resurrection every Sunday morning around the world when Christians gather. This is the day Christ resurrected. Every day is Resurrection Sunday, you see. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. That's the whole picture there. And we also know that he taught the disciples to meet on the first day of the week. It's a testimony to the world. Just like the Jews' Sabbath is still a testimony to the world of who the Creator is. Jehovah rested on the seventh day. You are answerable to that Jehovah God. And whether or not you're a Jew doesn't matter. He's the Creator. He created you. It's a constant reminder to the whole world who the Creator is. And so too, the Sunday, the first day of the week Christian service, is a reminder of the new creation. Jesus Christ is busy building a new creation right now. The church, his bride. He's creating that anew, a new creature in every new believer. And so it's a picture, a constant reminder of who the Sabbath was, a constant reminder of who the Creator was, and the first day of the week is a constant reminder of who the Creator of the new creation is. Who's doing the new creation? The Lord Jesus Christ is doing the new creation, is building the new creation. So it's based on the creation week, both holy days, if you want to call it holy days, the Jewish day and the Christian's day, both of them are a picture. One of the old, one of the new. But even the keeping of the old Sabbath hinted at the importance of the first day of the week. Go to Leviticus 23. Even the old Sabbath was hinting at the resurrection day that was coming, being on the first day of the week. Leviticus 23, verse 11. I'll start in verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, isn't that interesting? The law is hinting at something special happening on the first day of the week. First fruits happens on the first day of the week. First fruits, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the first fruits of the new creation. The law hinted at it. Verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, that's Sunday, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. That's a Sunday too. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Something special was coming on a Sunday, on the first day of the week. The law was pointing to it. Verse 16. Oh yeah, I already read verse 16. The law hinted at it. The law about the old Sabbath even hinted about how important the first day of the week was. And we know from the New Testament record, that the apostles taught the disciples to meet on the first day of the week. We know that by the references in the New Testament itself, that they met on the first day of the week. We know from the law about, or not the law, but the instructions from Paul about taking up the collection for the saints. He said, take it up when on the first day of the week. You can't take up a collection from the saints when the saints aren't there. It's just not possible. The saints met together on the first day of the week. But we also know that they met together on the first day of the week from Paul's own example, the detailed account of Paul's life. On Saturday, over and over again, where was Paul on Saturday, on the Jewish Sabbath? Where was Paul? In the synagogue. In the synagogue, teaching the Jews, trying to win the Jews to Jesus Christ. Every Saturday. It says that was his custom. That was his habit. Every Saturday, go to synagogue and preach Jesus to the Jews. Try to win the Jews to Jesus. Now, if he did that every Saturday as his custom was, when did he go to church on Saturday? He didn't. He didn't go to church on Saturday. He went to church the next day, Sunday, the first day of the week. He can't go to church at synagogue. That's not church. That's not the believers. That's the lost Jews who need to be saved. So Paul's own example showed us over and over and over throughout Acts that Paul didn't go to church on Saturday. Paul went to church on Sunday, the next day, after he had witnessed to the Jews the day before. Both Jews and Christians, they each have a God-given day. One, the Jews weren't commanded to meet, to go to God's house. The Jews were commanded to rest. Don't do any work. Those were the commands for the Sabbath day. The Jews were not commanded to attend church. It just works out good that way. They don't have anything better to do, so they go to synagogue. But we're commanded to meet together on the first day of the week. And of course, we can't point out to a specific verse, but we go to Hebrews chapter 11. In closing, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And where is it now? Maybe it's not Hebrews 11. I didn't put it down in my notes. Thank you, Hebrews 10:25. I was getting confused with Hebrews 11:2, I think, looking into Jesus. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When do we come together? Well, the illustration throughout Scripture is the first day of the week. The first day of the week. Bring the tithe on the first day of the week. Bring the collection to the saints together on the first day of the week. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Meet together more and more as ye see the day approaching. The Christian's day is a reminder to the world that Jesus Christ resurrected on Sunday, the first day of the week. The Jews, their day reminds the world that Jehovah God is the Creator, and you have to answer to Him one day. He made you. Therefore, He has say over your life. But both of them were given by God to point to something, to remind the world of something. And the Christians were to point everyone to who the God of the new creation is, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this message, and thank you, Lord, for these two pictures of God. The one that He is our Creator, and the other that Jesus Christ is the Creator of the new resurrection. And thank you for that, Lord, and I pray that you bless this message. I pray that people understand it. And Father, help us to be lights and shine forth as believers, as followers of Christ this week. Bless now, I pray. In Jesus' precious name I ask. Amen. All right. I've got a couple of prayer requests here that were given to me today. Thank you, sir.